Hello and welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball for Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. I am Carl James, joined by Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Chris Feeney. The Indiana Hoosiers went 1-3 over the weekend against Xavier. We all had, a positive outlook following that that beatdown of Kentucky midweek the week before, and we're kind of feeling that maybe the Xavier series was going to be the way to finally get up to 500. It didn't anyway turn out like that, so it was a tough weekend, and now there's a lot of questions being asked. So today on Talking Hoosier Baseball, we're going to kind of dig in and try to address what we think is going on in the program right now. Josh has been off for a few weeks, but he is back. So Josh, I'm just going to hand it right to you to start this kind of conversation off. Go for it, Josh.
Thanks, Carl. Really appreciate it. It's good to be back on. I think the doubts are there right now, but there are things that we talked about ad nauseum before the season started. 25% plate appearances have returned, so we're coming up with 75% of our at-bats. 8 or 9 new defensive starters, depending on if Morgan Colopy's out there or not. And then 2/3 of our pitching was lost to the draft with guys like Machocki, Gabe Bierman, Braden Scott, McCade Brown, Tommy Summer. You know, those are big time guys that performed really well for us. And that was 2/3 of what we had last year. So I think to me, it's an amazing thing that the fielding percentage has actually gone up from last year when you're replacing 8 or 9 guys with either freshmen or transfers. They're up 5% higher on that one. And offensively, I think we're looking at the pitching more negatively because of how well the big jump that the offense has taken. We lost 75% of our plate appearances, and we're hitting 22 points higher right now, slugging 60 points higher right now. And we lost Grant Richardson and Cole Barr. Those guys could, kind of hit the ball a little bit. We have 5 guys batting over 300, 2 being true freshmen, Josh Pine and Brock Tibbetts. 8 are slugging over 400. And those 5 guys that are hitting over 300, the guy that's not on that list is our leadoff hitter, Tyler Dones, who's getting on base over 40% of the time. So I think that kind of maybe magnifies the struggles in pitching that we're seeing or perceiving that way, because we knew this was going to be a complete, not rebuild necessarily, but a lot of holes to fill, a lot of innings pitched and plate appearances, and the fielding and the hitting has just been better than we could have imagined at this point. And the pitching's just not there yet. Also, you factor in that you've got a new pitching coach, so you're probably doing some different things tech-wise. They're wanting to do different things than what we had in the previous regime. So that's coming along a little bit more slowly than we'd hope. But, hey, we're 20 games in this thing. You know, it's not a small sample size at this point. So, you know, some things need to be fixed. And hopefully they can get on the right trend here this next week before Big Ten play starts.
Yeah. Well, for me, and going off of what Josh just said, for me, I kind of keyed in on the pitching a little bit this week and what I was looking at, and I limited it to the Xavier series just to kind of get a microcosm of what's going on. And the thing that stood out to me were the pitcher induced free passes, the walks, the HBPs. And so I took a closer look at those, and what really stood out was, and it felt a little different live than it did in hindsight looking at everything, but I looked at innings where there was a single walk or HBP compared to innings with two or more, because it felt like we were just having those two plus all the time. There were two of them over the entire weekend, and they were in that last game, both of them. But looking at it, there were 13 innings with exactly one walk or HBP. Only 6 of those innings had any score whatsoever in that inning. It could be before the walk, after the walk, only 6 of them. And it's an average of about a run an inning when there's a walk, when there is one walk. In the two innings where there were two or more walks or HBPs, runs scored in both instances, 100%. And those average runs per inning, 4.5. And I know that's small numbers and all of that, but it really does illustrate a single walk in an inning, not going to kill us. If it's a tight game, that could be a difference, but in the kind of games that we've had, one single run is not a huge concern. 4.5, those are those snowball innings. And then I took a quick look at walks or HBPs with fewer than two outs. There were 14 of those on the weekend. 11 of them would eventually come around to score. That's about 79%. There were 9 walks or HBPs with two outs already. Only 2 of those scored at 22%. So we really have to look closer at situational on when these walks are happening and the frequency in which they're happening. And to me, the biggest thing that stood honestly, one of the biggest things that stood out to me on the weekend was Bradley Bremer's pitching through the first 3 innings. He had thrown just 6 balls total. And he didn't walk anyone until the 7th inning, until he was getting up to that 100 pitch mark. He had a couple of HBPs, but he was largely losing individual pitches. He wasn't losing entire at-bats. And honestly, that's the difference between the Bradley Bremer at Clemson versus the Bremer we're seeing now. He's throwing for strikes. He threw 72% of his pitches for strikes this past weekend. And he was able to go 7 innings because of it. He was averaging just 14 pitches per inning, as opposed to 18, 19 per inning when he's throwing more at 55% strikes. So the real key with this staff is getting it over the plate. As Josh said, the defense is hanging in there. The defense is doing their job. Induce the soft contact. Let the defense do its thing. Throw them over the plate. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I think a piece of that, though, is also the fact that they don't need to pitch for the strikeout.
No.
With this offense, we don't need shutouts. IU needs to get a start like Bremer's on a Saturday. Yep. On a typical Saturday would be fine.
Yep.
You know, 3 so runs, even. Yeah. Well.
I mean, Perkins was great too.
Yeah.
I mean, we had 2 great starts. People are forgetting about Perkins. That whole thing fell apart late. Mm-hmm. They scored, 7 runs after the 6th or something? We had 2 really good starts. I know Coach kept talking about Bremer because it was 4 days later on Sunday. But really, Perkins pitched well too.
Yeah. Oh,
and
absolutely.
We can't lose that game.
Well,
you know, the execution late was terrible in the pitching staff.
But it was – I disagree. I completely disagree.
I scored 7 runs after the, 5th?
No, I'm not disagreeing that. I'm disagreeing that it was not the fault of the guys who came afterwards. It was – that was actually lost on Tuesday. That game was lost on Tuesday.
The Thursday game was lost on Tuesday.
Yes, it was lost on Tuesday.
Because we should have flipped the pitching.
Because they made the decision to win the Kentucky game. Gotcha. And your and the pitcher you needed –
flipped
was Holderfield.
So that's what you're
saying. He was not available.
Yeah. Right.
So the key is you have to line up the right guys. And the point is they haven't known who those guys are. And that's where this advantage of this game that's not being played this week is,
right.
Is that they've got these guys ranked now. And I'm pretty sure in the relief corps, Holderfield is that number one guy.
His last performance wasn't too great either, but he's a freshman. It's going to be up and down.
No, his performance was perfectly fine. That happened 3 innings in when he was trying to eat innings.
Yep.
Okay.
Because
he pitched 4 innings on Tuesday and the last inning was just as good as the first.
Right, but that was just that was barely a week before, and he is he's a relief pitcher. I'm not saying he
seven
can't
innings
do it.
In a week is a lot for him.
He's right confident now. In one more with him. I'm not going to lie.
No, I wasn't
saying
too.
Don't put him in.
Right, but I'm saying
I love that he was still in.
But I want him following Perkins with a lead. That's what I want.
Oh, yes. No, I get that. But were you upset he pitched another inning?
No,
I wasn't.
Well, what were the other options?
Well, yeah, that's true too. Yeah, no, but no, you can't say the pitcher's extra.
I was upset that he had to.
Yeah.
Okay, I got that. But honestly, after what he showed against Kentucky, I was like, throw him out there again.
Yeah.
I never worried about Efron's getting another inning. I never worried about Bierman getting another inning.
Yeah.
You know, when he was the bullpen guy.
Yeah, and it was hit, bomb. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah,
I know. But
it
that's
wasn't
how
walks.
It happens.
Yeah.
But that's how again, it happens. Poor
again,
execution,
one,
and they hit it hard.
Yeah.
But again, it was like, one.
You can have poor execution pitching and not walk a guy.
Right.
There's poor execution, and that's it.
Well, and again, it goes back to the missing one pitch. When that one missed pitch goes over the wall.
There was a lot more than one missed pitch this weekend.
Oh, I know.
It was glaring. The pitching was glaring. But you know what? It's because we've been spoiled for years. Josh brought it up in the beginning of the pod. We would go 10 games without giving up more than 4 runs.
Yeah.
Literally. We would go series after series after series and not see a 5 against us.
Yep.
And now we're getting 5-run innings.
Yeah.
So I can see why people are getting upset. There was that big Twitter thread where the guys were all jumping in, and they were right. It's very different this year. Mm-hmm. It seems like, you know, when we hit, we don't pitch. When we pitch, we don't hit. And that's what get you frustrated, right? It happens. But it feels like that we've been very spoiled with the pitching, and I think now it's kind of catching up to us.
Well, and that kind of is – what we've talked about when you're talking about your number one guy out of the pen is a freshman. When you're talking about some of your best hitters are freshmen. Some of your, honestly, your best fielders are freshmen. There's going to be those growing pains, those learning curves.
I think what gets people a little more frustrated is that some of the poorest pitching is not from freshmen.
That is true. But it's also guys who are in spots and situations they've never had to be in before. For whatever reason, sometimes a guy can come out of a pen and be lights out every single time, but you throw him out there on a start and nope, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we're figuring out.
And then there's been relievers
out
that aren't the same as last year, or the year before.
Yeah.
So it is frustrating, and it is what it is, but
yeah.
Well,
we were totally spoiled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A few weeks ago, though, some of these guys were unable to get the ball over the plate.
Yeah.
And now it's they can get the ball over the plate, but that's all they can do. I don't know for certain, but I suspect based on what's being said and the results that they're not doing a good job of like using both sides of the plate. They're not doing a good job of being able to locate pitches in different spots over the plate and hit specific targets. That are designed to try to induce weak contact. But the point is, at least they are throwing the ball over the plate and making the other team hit the ball. So progress from that perspective is being made.
Yes.
It's a little ugly.
The bar has been raised.
Yeah. So I think from that perspective, you know, progress is being made. The identification of who is best in what role, I think, is starting to come in place. I mean, the fact that now it looks like there are two solid starters, that's an improvement.
Yes.
And now it's time to get the relief corps lined up. And, you know, I think they've identified the people they need that if the team scores enough runs, which is probably like 4 or 5 runs on Friday, that this team can win Fridays.
Especially if we get a great start from Perkins.
Yeah. At least for now, there's no midweek next week. I think that may change as both Indiana State and Indiana have a free night on Tuesday. I would suspect that's a possibility. I don't know anything. I've not heard anything. I just, other than that, I see that both teams are available. So. I wouldn't be shocked if we heard that there was going to be a Tuesday midweek next week, but we don't know. All right. Well, One thing we're going to introduce as we go into Big Ten season, while Indiana is going to be playing Evansville this weekend in a non-con, that the Big Ten season is starting. And there will be four contests. While five teams are going to be on byes, eight of the teams will be facing off against each other. We've got Illinois traveling to Michigan State. Ohio State is traveling to Alexander Field to take on Purdue. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights are traveling to Penn State. And the Michigan Wolverines are heading to the defending Big Ten champion, Nebraska. So the four of us are each going to pick who we think are going to take those three-game series. This is a pick'em thing. It's pretty common in college baseball sites. So we've decided that we're going to pick every series except for Indiana's. We're not going to pick any Indiana series. We're not going to put that. Yeah, that's just too complicated. So we're focusing on the non-Indiana series. We're going.
Tempting the baseball gods just a little bit too much there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Plus, we all want to win the dollar. So we don't want to against our team. We're all putting a dollar in the hat for this. So the winner gets three U.S. dollars.
All right. So let's see here. Why don't we start with Cassidy? Cassidy, what are your picks for week one?
I'm going with Michigan State over Illinois. And then I'm going with heart over head a little bit and taking Ohio State over Purdue. Don't know if they'll do it, but I'm hoping. I'm going to go with Rutgers over Penn State. And even if they are the defending yada, yada, yadas, I'm going with Michigan over Nebraska.
All right. Chris, what do you got?
All right. First off, I pulled up the preseason coaches poll. I wanted to just throw that out there. Nebraska was picked first, Michigan second, Iowa third, Maryland fourth, Ohio State fifth, and Indiana sixth. So it's not that we're picking champions, but just to put it out there. And obviously after the non-con, Maryland's the only ranked team. Yeah. So what do the coaches know? First off, I got Michigan State over Illinois. Apparently, they've won three in a row, so I'm going to go with that. Rutgers is from New Jersey, and so is St. Peter's, so I'm going to go with Rutgers because St. Peter's beat Kentucky, okay? Then somehow they won again, and they might, and now they have a chance to knock out Purdue. So you got to figure St. Peter's, New Jersey, Rutgers, New Jersey, and I like day baseball, so, you know. They can't play at night. I don't even know where that game is, actually. If it's at Rutgers, it's a day game.
Penn State.
So we're going to go with that. Is it? Whatever. And so what I do, Michigan State. So I have Ohio State over Purdue. If it was another high school team Purdue was playing, I might have took them too. But this one is an actual college team, so I'm going to take Ohio State. And then my upset special. I understand, you know, Cassidy disagrees with me, but that's okay. I'm going to take Nebraska. I think maybe the Big Ten schedule starting up fires them back up, focuses them. I'm going to take them over Michigan, even though they have the most quad win ones, it looks like, in the whole thing. But I'm going to go Nebraska over Michigan.
All right. Josh, what are your picks?
Well, I was going to – Chris hit on the March Madness tie, and I was going to say it's fitting that we do this, kick this one off when my bracket is absolutely toast. And so I did what – usually when I do well in the brackets, I do no research and I just sit down, look at a seed or a number and pick it. When I do the research or watch a bunch of games, I'm trash. My brackets are trash. Yep. So I did the best thing you could do and just take all the teams with better records, regardless of whether it was home or away. So I've got Michigan State winning at home against Illinois, Purdue winning at home against Ohio State, Rutgers winning at Penn State, and Michigan winning at Nebraska. So far we're all different.
Yep. We're all different. Mine don't align up with anyone's either. So that's great.
Good start.
The one thing is consistent is that we did all pick Michigan State. So we all picked Michigan State.
So now Illinois is going to win.
But it won't affect the overall
Nope.
Yeah. Different. Won't matter. Because if we all take the same team, it's a push.
Yep. So, yes, we've all picked Michigan State. I am on this pick agreeing with Josh. I'm taking the very hot Purdue Boilermakers right now. Yes, I know they've lost a game finally. But
and this is a D1 school they're playing, you know.
They've beat some D1 schools lately. They took 2 out of 3 from Illinois State. That impressed me.
I don't think so. I'm going to go with Ohio State. Nick Swisher, field.
Honestly, this is more of my belief on Ohio State than it is on Purdue. So
the Buckeyes are sad.
This is where I am differing from everyone. I am taking Penn State at home against Rutgers. You want to talk about high school teams? Look at Rutgers' schedule. It was awful.
Well, they were from New Jersey, so I never looked at their schedule. That was the way I was going with it.
Yeah,
but was Penn State's any better?
Yes, it was. Oh, okay. Yes, yeah. And this is the thing: Rutgers does this every year. They go off on these great early season tears. And they even did it weirdly enough in the all Big Ten season. And then they collapse. So I'm saying it's time for Rutgers to collapse. So I'm going with Penn State.
Sweep Nebraska when we needed them to.
Yes, that's true.
And you know what they did vote on?
Yes. They were the other team that voted for the third paid assistant. So
correct.
And I'm picking Michigan. I have zero faith in Nebraska right now. So,
Carl, that was my big upset pick. Yeah.
So we're all different. We will have somebody. We'll be in the lead when we start the next round of games the next week. So, that is our pick'em. All right. What? Are there any other topics we want to discuss before we get on? We hand it over to Chris to take care of some hardware.
I had one as far as the social media and the Facebook page, and you know, there's a lot of frustrated people, and a couple of people have messaged me privately about the frustration and stuff. And you know what? Honestly, my textbook response is, "It's cool you care, man," because for a long time, no one gave an F. The amount of people that are upset right now at the difference of what's going on now and what had been happening year after year after year after year, whatever, and the consistency and the, you know, the different play. People have basically been used to a standard of Indiana baseball. I think that's cool. I'm not happy. The execution's been poor and the pitching has been poor and the losing 3-4 to Xavier at home. Of course not. I don't like it either. But the fact that, like, there's a million messages and threads that are lasting 18, you know, tweets and people, I'm putting up a Carl article on the Facebook page and there's 4 messages about how bad the series is. You know what? If you don't care, it's a problem. You know, if a fan base stops giving an F, that's worse. And I think it's a good thing that shows that people care and people are frustrated and people notice the difference, right? Like, what if nobody would have really realized, you know? That'd be worse, you know, to be honest. So I think it's a good thing, you know. I'm sure there was a point in Indiana football where this happened too, you know. And I actually talked to Sammy from Hoosier Hollow about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, he remembers. Like, there was a point where everybody was just numb and didn't care. And then as they started to get better, people did care because they kind of expected it to be a little better. Not that they're excellent. And it's not like we're world beaters either. But, you know, you expect a certain level. The bar is where it's supposed to be. And when you get a start like this, or when you can start, even the fans that know what's going on, right? Because a lot of knowledgeable fans like us realize we played world beaters schedule in the non-con, right? But then when it was like, you know, it changed a little and now it's been poor play, people pick up on it. People were just even texting me the records of Xavier before the series started, right? And how in the world did this happen? How did this happen at home? The fact that people care, I think, is a very good thing. You know, when we started the Twitter account and the podcast, there was a lot less involvement. So I don't like that, you know, it was a bad weekend, and I don't like that run to 500 and that there's some frustration, but I actually care and I'm kind of okay that people care. You know, I remember when we started the Twitter account, I was happy when it got to 51 followers because it was Logan Sauer's number. And we are 70 away from 4,000 right now. And I never would have thought in a college town that, you know, that that would even happen. There's accounts that involve every sport of everything and that have, you know, 5,000-6,000. So I would think they would have even more money, you know. So it shows people do care. So, you know, that's something I just wanted to bring up. And I do share the frustration. I'm not going to say that I don't, but I cared before. And I think a lot more people care now. And that's not a bad thing.
Well, for me, let's just take Sunday, for example. It was 58 degrees. It was sunny. There were an official attendance of 1893 at the BART, two games. So essentially, I got to spend my entire day at the BART with almost 2,000 of my closest Hoosier fans watching baseball. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that could be worse than that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we want the team to play well. We really do. You know, but at the same time, we got to watch a whole lot of bombs mm-hmm. from both teams.
Yeah, and we got a guy in the National League, you know, Ellis up there. Do you see that tweeting out? What's his nickname going to be? Yeah. Is it going to be Big Country? Is it going to be this other thing? Because now they're starting to retweet every home run of the four guys. Mm-hmm. So Ellis hopefully hits some more this weekend that he can get some more. Mike Rooney's really all over it. So yeah. I like it.
Unfortunately, he already missed the 485 footer as far as retweeting that video out because that thing was nuts. But that 441 was as well. I mean, that's
right here, Cass.
Where is it? Yeah.
It's right there. Yeah. Yeah, there's the batting glove that he had on when he hit it.
Nice.
And yeah. And
Big again, Country. And
I think as far as just the true power and the build and all of that, Ellis absolutely rivals Schwarber when he's hitting them just as far as Schwarber ever did while he was here. And
what's behind Josh is actually a Schwarber-esque move.
Yeah.
He always would take care of the fans, wouldn't he?
Yep. Every
Pictures
time.
Yeah, he hooked the boys up.
Everybody.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, it was an exciting weekend, a lot of offense. Interesting point. Indiana actually outscored Xavier in the series. So, so Chris, what do we have in the way of red belts for the weekend?
All right. So for the red belts this week, it was a little bit of discussion in my own mind as far as pitching. But Bradley Brammer, especially coming off of what we had seen early in the season, is going to get it. Okay. 7 innings, 3 runs, 6 Ks, just the 1 walk. Cass touched on a lot of his performance in the beginning, so I'm not going to double down on that. But he absolutely deserved it. I'm saying the first weekend of the season, we were like, if you stub your toe, we all remember what we were saying. What a turnaround. Okay. So we're going to go with him for the Joey Donato Award. For the Tony Butler Award, I'm going to go Tyler Doans. He had the nice pick, you know, the tag at second on the Ellis steal. He was solid all weekend from what I could tell. Was there one outstanding play that I could really put my finger on? Again, I think this is more a cumulative weekend award, even season award for this young man. I took a look at, not to be cast, but I took a look at some of the errors and the whatnot. And, you know, the up the middle is just outstanding as far as fielding percentage, as fielder's errors. If you take out pitchers' errors from the weekend, from the four games, we only had two, Tibbetts and Ellis. And I'll give Ellis a pass. He caught quite a few innings. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know how he caught both of the doublers. That's insane. Mm-hmm. And then the kid, I don't know which one, but I think it was a student reporter, asked Mercer about it, right, in the post game. He's like, come on, he could have caught another game or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like he's a big fella. You know,
That was Garrett. That was our guy.
Was it Garrett?
Yes, Garrett's
I didn't recognize
that.
His voice. Oh, I'm sorry. Was it? I didn't know. But
we asked that question.
Well, there you go. We asked a great question, and I didn't even know. But, you know, that was really impressive. But Tyler Doans gets it for the Tony Butler Award. Offensively, we're going to go Bobby Whalen. I feel like he gets a little bit overlooked. I know, of course, his defensive skills, his base running, his steals. He's a leader on the team. But, you know, he's hitting .340. He's got the .440 on base percentage. And he just had an overall good weekend. You know what I mean? It wasn't like maybe an outstanding game or outside. He did have the over on Sunday, but listen, lots of hits all weekend, lots of RBIs. He really is a fire plug on this team. Damn, he's the guy who started the phone thing, right? Ellis told us. So Bobby Whalen's going to take the Alex Dickerson Award. I just can't take Ellis every time he hits a home run. I got to stop doing this because I'll end up winning it every week. So I'm trying to mix it up a little bit. Bobby had a really good weekend. He did hit his first home run as a Hoosier. So that's another reason why he's going to get it. So you got Bobby Whalen for Alex Dickerson, Bradley Bremer for Joey Donato, and then Tyler Dones for the Tony Butler Award for this week. And I am anticipating, okay, a series win against Evansville. I'm not sure how or how it's going to happen. They might all be softball games. I'm not saying it might not be. They might all be 10-9. But I'm going to go out on a limb and pull a Patrick Ewing and guarantee a series win this week.
And I'm going to sit here and knock on wood now.
Well, I would also like to see a close game win.
Yes.
Yep. I'm not going to get greedy, Carl.
What, 20-7's not fun?
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I want a series win.
Let's just say I want no close losses. How about that?
Yes.
I want no more close losses.
I'll even take one loss. Series win, Carl.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yes, yeah, so the Evansville series starts Friday at the BART, 5 p.m., currently scheduled Saturday, 2 p.m., Sunday at 1 p.m. Currently no midweek scheduled until IU starts Big Ten play again at the BART against Northwestern on Friday, April 1st at 5 p.m. All right, well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. You can continue to follow all of what we keep putting out on iubase.com. We will have some graphics for these pick'ems, so you can track how we're all doing in our pick'em contest going forward. We will have Big Ten standings as those get updated starting this weekend. Those will all be on the site. We'll continue with recaps. Garrett Creech is our reporter, and he'll be reporting on recapping the games, especially the home games, and we'll keep other recaps going as well. So for Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Chris Feeney, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.